Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Star Foundation, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org.
So good morning, everyone. Pause now. I know you're on your way to work, but you're going to want to pull up a chair to this takeaway conversation here. And you know how to reach us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You know, sometimes conversations, Celeste, are like rickety docks. You know, they start out, you know, strong and then they get maybe a little awkward. Like conversations that begin like this. Do you ever notice that it's always black people who...
Right. Yeah.
Or why is it that white people are always better at...
Not good. Yeah.
Or isn't it funny how you mostly see Asians in the...
Right. Yeah. That's an invitation for a punch in the nose.
Exactly. But it's not always the case. I mean, this month, which got us thinking, there's this controversial academic paper, maybe not so controversial, was published in the International Journal of Design and Nature and Ecodynamics. The title was The Evolution of Speed in Athletics, : Why the Fastest Runners Are Black and Swimmers Are White. Question. How do you get from what seems like a racially motivated question...
Right.
To some scientifically legitimate answers. Well, we have the authors of this study, Dr. Adrian Bijan of Duke University and Edward Jones, an instructor at Howard University. First of all, gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
Dr. Bijan and Edward Jones, first of all, the science here, what differences were you looking at between blacks and whites on the issues of swimming and running?
Well, The science is actually the other way around. We've been looking at speed in sports, and it was only later that the commentators have focused on the aspect with which you began. My own interest, which goes back to more than 10 years ago, is in the phenomenon of design in nature. This phenomenon, which is universal, is about movement, and it shows that everything that flows and moves in nature has a tendency to configure itself to flow better or more easily. This principle is known as the constructor law.
And as you can hear, Adrian Bijan is a distinguished professor of engineering
right.
at Duke University, which right. sort of was the original motivation to look at some of the engineering and flow equations that might relate to bodies in motion, particularly athletes. Edward Jones, how did you view the original question here, scientifically speaking?
Well, I thought it was an interesting question, and when I reviewed it, what I thought was missing was any discussion about possible differences in body density in different types of athletes figuring into the equation, even though I, you know, the physics and is beyond me on the original in looking at that work. And I had known from a nutritional perspective, studying body composition relative to obesity in African American compared to white and other adolescents, that I knew of the body density studies that showed that there were differences, and a lot of these studies were done back in the 80s. Uh-huh. And so I just raised a question as to whether or not that might be relevant in, you know, tied into the whole locomotion theoretical framework.
Well, Edward and Adrian, did you guys in your own conversations have to negotiate around racial myths and concerns that this study might be more controversial as you developed your own research? Describe to us how that went. Adrian?
Well, no. Ed is actually correct. We focused on trying to explain the two sides of the coin, why winners in one sport are from one group, why the winners in the other are from the other group. Body composition was one idea we tried. That seemed to say something about floating in water, but it said absolutely nothing about speed on track. We finally hit upon the explanation, which is that that in addition to having to be the bigger or the taller to be faster, one has to have a higher center of gravity for speed on land and a lower center of gravity for speed in the water. And the point that you raised is something on which we worked very carefully when we reported our findings. But our focus from the beginning was on explaining or predicting, if you will, a phenomenon. The phenomenon is the phenomenon of speed in sports.
Well, Edward, let me ask you, because I found it interesting as you were, have you been speaking about this study and kind of the little controversy that's brewed up over it, which I'm sure you probably expected. But you seem to think that this studies of this type could actually bring about a more understanding and commonality between races, because you say this is a study that sets the idea of race entirely aside. Explain.
Well, I think that I did some study of genetics, and the human genome research, the recent human genome research has pretty much established that race is not a biological construct, that it is a social construct. But let's say race has been used to really misclassify what are some observable differences. And so it's not that we don't appreciate differences based on fitness for certain environments, for certain kinds of physical characteristics, but there is a difference between describing different heritable differences or different phenotypic or body type differences and attributing it to just race or some mm-hmm. kind of racial determinism. And so we've attempted to just make that separation.
Well, you know, we're going to continue this discussion, but before we go, and we're going to add actually our good friend LaToya Peterson into this conversation, but Edward Jones and Adrian, but I'll leave it with you, Edward. Science has a bad reputation, certainly in the United States, for approaching racial questions sometimes. But I'm wondering if on the other side of the coin, that certain questions about racial differences that might be scientifically significant don't get asked because people are afraid of the social, political consequences. Edward?
Right. I mean, we all know that going back to slavery, the slave trade, you know, race has been misused. I think that there has been an absence of so many African-American and other minority researchers in
right.
racial type research. And so who's doing it and how it's used is, you know, they're very important considerations. And I think that, you know, this kind of issue is a very sensitive issue and has be approached very, very carefully. And
well, we're going to take a break right there. Edward Jones, PhD candidate at Cornell, Adrian Bijan, distinguished professor of engineering at Duke University. We're talking about a study about speed in athletics and racial differences that might explain why African Americans are better runners and whites are better swimmers, or if that's even the case. You know how to reach us, 877-8-MY-TAKE. Coming up, we're going to have LaToya Peterson join the conversation. Stay with us.
We want to bring in LaToya Peterson. She's the editor of Racialicious.com. And LaToya, you were listening to the conversation we had with the two doctors.
That I was.
And the question for them, they said, is to just examine the differences, not between races, but between phenotypes, that it's not necessarily the social construct of race in which have genetic differences or biological difference, but geography. Somebody's geographical ancestry can kind of determine biological differences. What's your thoughts on that?
Definitely. And I noticed that something was said at the end of the last segment that I wanted to clarify. Edward and Adrian, is it African-American runners, or is it runners from a certain region who you guys are categorizing as black in your study who are showing these characteristics and
Edward?
These traits?
Edward?
Well, if you look at the Olympics, you will see these top sprinters coming from Jamaica, other Caribbean islands, from Canada, through the second generation, perhaps from the Caribbean, from Europe or West Africa. And populations, Brazil is an example, among males and among females. And what's interesting, again, this doesn't prove anything, but the fact that these subgroups don't necessarily have super recent cultural or subcultural similarities for there to be that selective, that kind of selection in the high level of Olympics, and not raise a question as to, well, what is the common factor?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So, but in essence, what ended up happening was that probably for a lot of readers, things got a little conflated. You know, all blacks are good at this, whites are good at this, and we're really talking about people from certain types of regions. And that way, race and science, and talking about race and science in, you know, in public national conversations is really difficult because there's a lot of ambiguity. There's some lower level understanding from people who haven't done a lot of research. And the data can be interpreted completely different and applied completely differently than people who work in anti-racism or people who work in science would want it to be applied.
So you're worried about
this? What intent.
You're worried about a study like this?
Well, I'm not worried about the study itself and the study existing. Trying to determine patterns, human evolution, these things are actually important. And we get a lot of pleas from from health researchers on the Racialicious site because they talk about how there are these differences that aren't being fully explored because a lot of minorities don't participate in health studies. And so just like there was the uncovery of gender differences between how, you know, for example, men and women experience heart attacks, they believe the same thing would be present in different racial or ethnic groups, but they can't tell. And they need more help with the research.
Let's test that for just 1 second, LaToya. Adrian Bijan, what if a coach read your study and said to an African-American on their swim team that, hey, look, scientifically, you don't have a chance at an Olympic medal. You know, I just want to advise you. Would you say that's an inappropriate use of your data?
What you just said is happening already. Coaches do not speak in terms of, origin. They look at, for example, in track, they look at the height of the pelvis. They look for runners with a high inseam. The opposite happens in swimming. Coaches are looking for swimmers with long torsos. This knowledge is already available empirically, meaning through testing and watching and all of that. What we have done is to predict it and to predict it rather precisely. We speak of a 1.5% speed advantage because of the true position of the center of gravity of the body. And this is knowledge that needs to be put on the clean table and discussed openly by everybody, including sports governing bodies.
But the problem is that it's really hard to find a clean table. I mean, I remind you that in 2007, Nobel Prize winner James Watson, who specialized in the structure of DNA molecules, claimed that he was gloomy about the prospects of Africa because testing has showed that the intelligence of the people there is not the same as whites. And we have a comment from one of our listeners, which kind of goes to the same thing, the confluence of supposed scientific studies and prejudice.
Carolyn from Boston, here you go again with your insane obsession with race. Before black athletes started to dominate the world of basketball, it was the Jews who dominated and were called the Artful Dodgers. So if you go back far enough, you know, your whole perspective on this might change.
So, Edward, there is a problem sometimes with the scientific studies being used for the wrong things.
Right. And I absolutely agree. And what I would also say is that it might be worthwhile for the science of it to say, well, let's do a prospective study. Let some group try to standardize things like socioeconomic status, particularly relative to swimming, access to swimming. I mean, there are so many loaded aspects because different types of sports, just like tennis, you know, where you have people like the Williams sisters, or golf like Tiger Woods, where you have these icons that emerge out of from sports that have been historically associated with social class. And clearly there are examples, but I think that to take this whole concept and say, okay, we will follow a group of students.
Well, we don't want it to cut off scientific study. But LaToya, any last thoughts? How do we reach scientific ends without kind of distorting them into a racial conversation?
Well, we need to understand that research is research. It's a work in progress. It needs to be proved. There needs to be other things that happen. And the problem is not necessarily that the research exists or that we want to explore things that may on its face look like it correlates with race, but people who take research as an absolute truth and use that to prop up an existing prejudice. That's the problem.
LaToya Peterson, editor of Racialicious.com. We also spoke with the two authors of the study, The Evolution of Speed in Athletics, Adrian Bijan of Duke University and Edward Jones of Howard University. Thanks to all three of you. And of course, we want you to continue this conversation. Give us a call at 877-8-MYTAKE.